88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
That's going to be, he always have somebody there for you. That's why you have to be prayerful. So God will speak and say, listen, you don't have to do that. I got this waiting on you. You don't have to do that. This person here going to take care of you. He'll always have a Reuben. He'll always have a way out of a situation. Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands. His goal was to rescue the boy. See, they didn't know it, but he was going to try to rescue him, to deliver him back to his father again. Amen. Look at David, say, somebody care. Yeah. There's always somebody to care. Yeah, see, Elijah thought he was all by himself, and he went to complaining to God and boo-hooing, oh, God, I'm the only one serving you, and ain't nobody helping. He said, listen here, Elijah, I got 7,000 that have not bit their knee to Baal. I always got somebody there for you, somebody. That's why there's never a reason to commit suicide. The devil is a lie. There's always somebody depending on you. There's somebody that care about you. He'll have a Reuben somewhere. It came to pass, verse 23, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors. They was hating on the coat. Amen. Anybody ever had an outfit, they just know when they put that on, they were sharp. Yeah, everybody got that one outfit. Even as a little kid, you got that little, this is the dress I like. I like, maybe you wore that last week, but I like this dress. Amen. Even men, we got that shirt, amen, that we just like, amen. I remember having an old colorful shirt, amen. I wore it all the time, amen. Praise the Lord. He had this coat, and because of their jealousy, they stripped it from him first. That's the first thing they took, stripped him of his coat. Verse 24, and they took him and cast him into the pit. How many know that's low down? See, that's what bitterness will do to you. Oh, God. See, you have to allow God to check the bitterness. Bitterness will kill you and somebody else. Then you're angry. I'm going to get down here. Amen, somebody. Angry, upset, bitter. What kind of devil make you kill your own blood? Amen. How long do you have to meditate? See, that's why in our legal system, that's the difference between self-defense and premeditated murder. Now, it's one thing for you to hurt somebody because you're defending yourself. You could get off on that. But it's a whole other thing for you to decide in your heart, I'm just angry, and I'm going to take you out. Much less your own brother. Imagine how Joseph felt. Here he is. You know, he just got a mouth problem. That's all. He brag a little much. You know, that's just immature. That's all. He got a little coat on. Check me out. Got a little coat on. First thing they did, took the coat. Ain't that low down? Took the man's coat. But they ain't stopped there. Put him in a pit. Reuben tried to save but couldn't save him. You have to even thank God for second chances. Because they could have killed him, Leonard. But they didn't kill him. What the Bible says is they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. We ain't going to shed his blood. Now, that was low down, too, that they sold him. But how many know sometimes we could be going through a trial but don't realize the real trial that was coming could have been even worse. But somebody prayed. God had mercy. Y'all helping me, thank you. Somebody had mercy. They prayed. Allow God's angels to come in to where you wouldn't get the ultimate destruction, but just went through a trial that was leading to triumph. The principle here is anger and bitterness can cause us to make irrational decisions. Because they were angry, because they were bitter at that brother, they made an irrational decision. Anybody ever made a decision that if they had just waited and cooled off, psychotherapy, they said count to 10, would have helped you to make a better decision? Anger and bitterness can cause irrational decision. You could have saved that plate. You didn't have to throw it. Amen. Had you understood Proverbs 16 and 32, which says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Not only that, but in James 1, 19 and 20, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You have to watch anger now. Watch bitterness. You'll be doing things you never thought you'd do. I'm angry. Anger don't give you a license to sin. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. You have to be careful of that demon. That demon of anger will make you cuss and slap and lie and steal and be late for work and all, and dare you to say something. Don't what? Because you angry don't mean you got the right to cut up. Amen. You being done something you regret. You're going to find later on these boys regretted what they did. Oh, but God. Oh, he was going from, Joseph was going from trial to triumph. Because in the end, he won this thing. God got the glory. Genesis 39, verse 1 through 6. If you're writing, I want to show you another principle. God can prosper us even in the most difficult situations when we obey him. God can prosper us even in the most. You might think you're going through hell, all capital letters. But God say, just obey me in the heat, y'all. It's hot, but keep on obeying. It seems difficult, but keep on obeying. It seems hard, but don't stop obeying me because I'm going to prosper you if you stay obedient. My son and I oftentimes go down to Lake Charles and go crabbing. And when we bring the crabs back, y'all don't get mad, but some of the crabs are still living. And we put the crab ball in the pot and turn it up high and put the crab in the bowl, amen, or in the pot, rather. He's still alive, amen. But he'd be good eating after we finish, amen, somebody. But don't you know that crab trying to get out that pot? Some of us be trying to get out the heat. Let me tell you what you do when you're in a trial. The Bible tells us to count it all joy. See, that's the opposite of how we feel. When we in trial, we want to count it all anger. We want to be mad and get up out the water because it's boiling. We want to get out the situation, but he says count it all joy because all I'm doing, I'm trying your faith. I'm building your faith. You know when faith has matured? When it becomes patience. See, a caterpillar is not the end result. You got to wait a little while in the cocoon till you mature and become the butterfly. Faith is the beginning. Faith is an elementary principle, but faith matured becomes patience. See, that's how you know when somebody matured in their faith. No matter what comes, they just say, oh, I just trust God. You ain't going to do nothing. Oh, I believe God. Well, you ain't going to go over here. No, I just trust him. He got it. Now, that don't mean you ain't going to do nothing, but you only going to do what he say. You're not going to do what you want to do. You're not going to do what other folks say. You're only going to do what he say when he say doing it. Why? Because you become mature. Count it all joy when you face trials and you're in triumph. Watch this, he says. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. You may think, man, this is just awful. Tell somebody God is setting you up. Y'all ain't. You better catch this in the prophetic. Tell them again, say, God is setting you up. God is saying, it looks awful. But God knows what's going to happen next year. See, you in 2018, but don't know what's going to happen in 19. See, it's Sunday, but you don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. You just got to stay in patient faith, count it all joy with God, because he's going to always turn a bad thing out for good if you stay with him. See, they didn't know. They didn't know. All he knows is I'm being sold into slavery. Man, this is the boys that betrayed me, threw me in a pit by myself. Now I'm being sold. Golly. How many know we walk by faith and not by sight? Anybody remember David Copperfield? Yeah, the great illusionist, making stuff disappear on television. Everything you look at in the natural don't always mean that's what it is in the spiritual. When we walk trusting God, it may look horrendous, but we're saying, God, I trust you. And he'll make you walk right out of the fire. Come right out of the lion's den. Amen. So come right off the cross. Y'all ain't going. Listen. Verse 2. And the Lord was... This is what you want to hear with Joseph. Anybody hear the Lord with him? Oh, I want to keep the Lord with me. Lord, thank you for being with me. And I want to tell you today, if you're saved, he's with you. If you commit sin, confess that sin. Amen, somebody. Get it under the blood and begin to walk with him again. Amen. Because he is with you. As long as God is with you, nothing can be. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he prospered. He was a prosperous man. I believe I'm in a room with some prosperous people. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. See, you walk with God long enough, other folks will see, man, the Lord with him. Sinners will see it. Amen. Some of your greatest evangelism is just living the life and people can see there's something about you. Never be ashamed, young people, of living for God. See, a lot of times you don't realize the blessing that's on your life, that's God. We might think it's us, but that's God. Somebody done prayed for you. Somebody done taught you some principles. That's why I always encourage, bring them kids to church. Amen. Wake them up. Bring them to church. Amen, somebody. Let them sit up under the anointing of the word. Let them sit up under the presence of God. Bring them to prayer. Now, if they pray and they praying and they just laying there, that's all right. They still in the atmosphere. You'd be amazed what's going to happen to your children when they get that out there in the world, but they know God. Because, see, the temptation is, you know, let them enjoy. They say have fun. Make sure they have fun. Fun is good. Nothing wrong with fun. Thank God for Disney World. Amen, somebody. But you better saturate them in the presence, because when they get in the world, they're going to need to know something different from what the world know. We went to see Avengers. Amen. The movie, Avengers Infinity War. Amen. When I say we, I mean me and my daughter. Amen. My wife don't necessarily like the movie. The monsters in it don't like the movie. Son too young to watch it right now. So me and my daughter, we went, see. But let me tell you how the world doing. There were at least three things in that movie that were anti-Christianity. And they're saying this movie is the biggest movie right now, you know, at the box. Obviously, it's one of the biggest movies ever, bigger than Star Wars. In one particular scene, a guy asked one of the characters, he said, "Who is your master?"